Hello and welcome to Feed, Play, Love and to this episode of Helpline on Feed, Play, Love. We are joined today by our sleep expert, Jo Ryan. It's your opportunity to jump online and ask all the questions that you have. We do have a stack that have piled up because I was away last week. I was moving house from a two-bedroom apartment to a three-bedroom house, which is very exciting but totally exhausting. Hello, Jo. How are you?
Hello. I'm very well, thanks. Very well.
So everyone, you can ask questions. If you're watching us live on Facebook, you can pop your questions below the video. If you're listening to us via the podcast, you just email us at helpline@theparentbrand.com.au and we will be in touch the following week. We'll be answering your questions the following week. Jo, let's get stuck straight into this. We have our first question is from Heather. She says, my two-year-old does not sleep well at night. He has a nightly routine, goes to bed the same time every night around 8:30 p.m., takes about 45 minutes to fall asleep and starts out sleeping in his own bed. He always wakes up in the middle of the night anywhere from 1:30 to 4 a.m. and then stays awake for 1 to 3 hours sometimes. It varies. When he wakes up, I grab him and put him in bed with me, but he still wakes up in our bed. This has been happening months before he turned 2, and he still wakes up around the same time in the morning, around 7 a.m. He also takes a 2-hour nap during the day. Do you have any tips on how I can get him to sleep better all through the night?
Okay. So, well, I would firstly say that I think you might be going to bed a bit late. 8:30 sounds quite late for a 2-year-old. And the reason being is that these children, young children, well, everyone really, gets the deepest sleep of the night before midnight. So you need to optimize the amount of hours that they get of that deep sleep, because that will actually help them sleep better and, in fact, be well rested the next day and be able to do things without kind of losing it quickly, you know, all that sort of thing, particularly being a toddler. So I would recommend, if Heather can, bring that bedtime back a bit earlier, because also if he's going to bed really late and he's now taking 45 minutes to go to sleep, he's not really going to sleep till about 9:15, which is very late for a little tiny 2-year-old. I recommend 7 o'clock as a really standard bedtime for all young children, you know, just because they get that then 4.5 to 5 hours of deep sleep before midnight, and it really helps them function the next day, you know. And that it is true that sleep begets sleep, you know. So if he's going down late, he's really exhausted, that really affects the way they sleep. So they wake frequently, they're very difficult to get back to sleep. So perhaps, Heather, a way of dealing with that is if he's having a long sleep in the day, you could maybe cut that back a little bit, like maybe give him an hour and a half, and then, you know, from about midday, so he's up around 1:30, and then going to bed at 7 should be, you know, a very long afternoon anyway for him. You know, that's about 6 hours of being awake. So that would be my recommendation. The other thing would be, when he does wake, is to not bring him into bed with you, because that's now a sort of set expectation and a routine for him. So he's going to want to do that. So rather than bring him to you, you just go to him, maybe sit with him for a bit, settle him, and it'll take a couple of nights, but, you know, set up a new routine of how you deal with him overnight. And when there's no expected reward or no expected treat for waking, like, oh, I'm going to get into mum and dad's bed or whatever, then they stop waking. But I would firstly address that I think he's going to bed a bit too late for a little thing.
Okay. Andrea says, hope everyone is safe and healthy. Love you guys and the podcast. I am writing from Smoky, California. Yeah. Thinking of you over there. My son is 19 months and has recently started hitting and is somewhat aggressive. He does not talk yet, so communication is an issue. My middle son was a late talker and has no developmental delays, so we're not concerned about my little one's verbal skills at this time. When he hits a person, it's clearly out of frustration and the communication barriers. When he does hit or swing at someone, we stop him and tell him we understand he's frustrated because of whatever the reason might be, and tell him that hitting isn't nice and it hurts. Then we walk him, finding ways to solve the problem without hitting. When he hits pets, it's something else. He knows the difference between soft or hard pet, soft-petting or hard-hitting or throwing a toy at the cat or dog. When he hits an animal, we tell him to stop and that it is hurting her, and then encourage soft-petting and tell him to love her, at which point he often lowers his head onto the animal and will hug. Why is he hitting animals if not out of frustration? And why, if he seems to know the right thing to do? What is the best way to stop him from hitting both people and animals? Do we need a different approach for each? This is very frustrating, and I feel like I'm talking to hear myself speak at this point. I know the hitting people will eventually go away as his communication increases, but I can't figure out the animal hitting. Please help.
Well, she's absolutely right. I mean, it is all about frustration. And for me, I would say that it's exactly the same reason, you know. He's just lashing out, you know, he's just trying to, you know, he's taking out his frustration on whatever is closest. And, you know, pets and animals are loving and lovely, and they don't hit back, you know, generally, hopefully, or bite back. So, you know, I think it sounds like she's doing all the right things. Yes, it will pass. Yes, it's a very frustrating time, but she's, you know, she's approaching it. They're approaching it in, you know, a fantastic way. There's not a lot else you can really do, you know. I mean, sorry, what was the last bit of her question about that? Should she do something different about that?
Yeah, should it be a different approach between how they talk to him about hitting people or hitting animals?
I don't think so. I don't think so, because you've got to remember that a 19-month-old, you know, they have absolutely no understanding of how other people are feeling. They have no empathy. You know, they're narcissistic creatures. That's young children. They don't develop that empathy until quite a few years later. But we can start by showing them and demonstrating, you know, so you patting the animal and cuddling the animal, and, you know, we touch them gently, and you've got to be gentle, and it hurts them and they'll get up. You know, everything that she's doing sounds right. So my advice would be to stick with it. I know it's frustrating, you know, remove him from the animal, so that he can't hit the animal if you have to, but, you know, I just hang in there. It will pass, you know, and there's not a lot else you can do.
It's not a sign your child's a psychopath.
No, he's not trying to kill the animal. I think that then we'd be a little bit worried, but no, hitting is a very normal toddler frustration kind of behavior. And like I say, she's approaching it brilliantly. There's not a lot else she can do. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, good luck with that.
Yeah, good luck.
Our next question comes from Asma, who says, my 7-week-old does not sleep all day. I feed him, he'll fall asleep on the breast, and then when I put him down, he wakes up 5 minutes later. If I swaddle and rock him, he'll fall asleep. But when I put him down, he wakes up again. I'm finding I'm holding him all day long. I'm exhausted.
Mm. Yeah. So look, 7-week-olds, the tiny, teeny tiny, and the one thing that happens with very young babies is that when they get overtired, they are very difficult to get to sleep and they won't stay asleep. So it kind of becomes this vicious cycle, you know. So my advice would be to know that young babies really can only be awake at that age, can only be awake for an hour, you know. So often we don't know that, you know, and so you think, oh, maybe a couple of hours, or maybe I'll just wait to see if they get tired or they might fall asleep. But by that point, often they're overtired, and then they won't stay asleep unless you're holding and continually rocking and helping. And that just becomes that sort of whole routine, and it is very frustrating and exhausting. So my advice would be to start maybe like one morning after they've had sort of some night's sleep, and you can start the day out by, you know, watching the clock. So even at 45 minutes, you know, if your baby's been up for 45 minutes, then I would start to swaddle and wrap and maybe jiggle. Like young babies at that age too need some help to go to sleep. So feeding to sleep's not terrible, jiggling to sleep's not terrible, but maybe if you can get them really sleepy and then pop them down and then do a bit of padding, you know, and you might find that, you know, they'll go off to sleep more easily and also stay asleep a bit longer. And if they do wake after a short period of time, try to put them back to sleep, you know, but keep those awake times to an hour, capped at a maximum of an hour, you know, for the next little while. And it's not really till, because now this baby is probably quite chronically overtired, you know, if he hasn't had a lot of sleep in the last 7 weeks, that it takes, you know, quite a few days to catch up and get that sleeping back on track. It will get better, you know, and just check that, you know, he's not hungry, that he's getting nice full feeds, you know, that you're burping and all those things that you need to do to kind of help the sleep, you know, make things as conducive to sleep as possible. Yeah, good luck.
This question comes from Kelly on our Facebook Live. Hi, Kelly. She says, when should your toddler stop day sleeps and how do I know if they're ready?
Yeah. So, look, we're all different and same with toddlers. They all, some toddlers need a day sleep until they're about five and some, well, they're not toddlers by then, but till they're 5 year olds, and some drop it at sort of 1.5 or 2, you know. So, yes, he will let you know when he's ready, and generally it's they just refuse to sleep, you know. So, you know, obviously it's better if they're older because, you know, that nice little respite in the middle of the day is always nice. And even if they don't sleep, you can still promote that kind of rest time during the day. So, you know, make sure you keep the ritual of going in, lying down on the bed or, you know, having a story, and then some quiet time is also a good thing. But generally our children will tell us when they're ready to move on to that next stage. Yeah, so, you know, I can't tell you exactly when it's going to be ready, but he will let you know.
Yeah, he just won't go to sleep.
Yeah,
he?
That's right, exactly, yeah.
We have a question from Trina on our Facebook Live as well. She says, further to your earlier answer, I have a 2.5-year-old and he's waking up more at night. He seems to still want to sleep 2.5 hours in the daytime. Should I be shortening this or let me do what he thinks he needs? He wakes between 5:30 and 6 in the morning and has his nap around, sorry, he wakes 5:30 to 6 in the morning and has a nap around 12 till 12:30 and then sleeps till 2 to 12:30 and then he's in bed at 7:30.
That sounds okay, like in terms of the routine. But if he's waking every night and he's awake for a long period of time, then I would probably cut back the day sleep maybe to 1.5 hours. You know, or two, like if he's sleeping 2.5, drop 1/2 hour and see how that goes. And then if it doesn't improve, then maybe drop down to 1.5 hours, you know, cap it at 1.5 hours maximum and see how that goes. Generally, again, like, and just be conscious that you're not doing anything during the night that might be encouraging the waking. So feeding, picking up, taking to your bed, you know, all those kinds of things encourage waking. So just be conscious of that as well.
This is a question from Kiva through our email. She says, help, my little girl is 3.5 months and wakes herself usually around 4 a.m. with frustration trying to suck her hands. She sleeps in an arms-in swaddle bag with another swaddle bag blanket wrapped around for extra snugness. We found this did the trick to stop the hand sucking temporarily, but she wiggles around and loosens the swaddle. We tried arms out sleeping, but she wakes herself even more banging around. GP thinks she's teething, recommended Panadol if she's in pain, but when I lift her up and feed her, no amount of shushing or padding works. She's laughing and still pretty sleepy. Therefore, I don't think she's in pain. I also don't think it's hunger waking her because even after a feed, she tries to get to her hands. Any ideas?
Well, some babies, yeah, love the sucking. They're sucky babies. So, you know, you've got a couple of options. You could try a dummy, but then dummies can, you know, cause a whole lot of other problems, you know, later on. I prefer them to be able to suck their hands because obviously they can find that. 3.5 months olds are still quite young, so they often don't have the full coordination to get the hand to the mouth. But I would probably, particularly overnight, the overnight sleeping generally would be okay with a bit of a looser wrap. You know, the day sleeping, you might need to still have those hands down. But she would certainly be getting to a stage where I would think that maybe a bag with the arms up and the Love to Dream bags, you know, so they're contained, but they can still get their hand with a bit of, you know, material over it, but they can still manage to get their hand into their mouth and suck or turn their head, but they're not flailing, you know, they're not fully arms out and waking themselves up, you know what I mean? So it is a good transitional wrap as well, that sort of arms up. So you're not going from tight swaddle to arms fully out. So I'd probably try something like that. And some babies just really like to suck, you know, and you know, as I say, I quite like it because it does help with the self-soothing and being able for them to put themselves back to sleep if they do sort of wake. So that's what I'd give that a go.
This question comes from Jory on Facebook Live. Apologies if I said your name wrong. She says, "Hi, Joe. Do you have any advice on how to help my four-month-old baby who has terrible eczema? We can't wet dress yet due to SIDS. We are using steroid treatments, but she still wakes scratching and gets loose from the swaddle. Help."
Oh, yeah. Look, it's terrible eczema. And, you know, all you could do is... you know, make sure she's not too hot, obviously, because the heat increases the itch. Obviously, the creams, and just maybe, you know, put little mittens on. I'm sure she's doing all this because this is sort of standard eczema, you know, so that she's not scratching and causing herself to bleed or, you know, give herself little scratches. There's not really a lot else you can do, you know. Just make sure that the room is comfortable, that there's maybe some white noise or some music to help soothe her and help her sleep. Because, you know, if she can sleep, the creams should be keeping things under control as much. But, you know, they do have flare-ups of eczema. Yeah, there's not a lot else you can do except, you know, obviously the creams and try to keep her as comfortable and cool as you can without, like, make, you know, warm but not too warm. That's a fine line. Yeah.
It's a tough one, isn't it?
It is a really tough one, actually. Babies with eczema, it's very hard. It's very hard to get the sleep sorted.
Feeling for you, Jerry. Hope that helps. This question comes from Vanessa. She says, "My daughter is 4 years old. Back in May this year, she had a UTI and started having toilet accidents due to the UTI. She hasn't had another, but never fully recovered from the accidents. Now she's wetting herself 2 to 4 times a day, and I have no clue what to do. I have tried everything to try and get her back to normal, but nothing works. I've tried talking and explaining with her, tried encouraging and saying, we'll do better next time. I've also tried some discipline, taking away privileges like toys and TV and time outs. I've taken her back to the doctor also, and they have nothing to suggest. I'm at my wit's end. Do you have any ideas for me?"
Yeah, look, these sorts of things can cause regressions, you know, illnesses and sicknesses, and particularly if she wasn't toilet trained, hadn't been toilet trained for long. You know, UTIs are horrible. They're uncomfortable. I used to get them a lot when I was a child as well. I would say time would be the most, you know, the best thing, and try to take the pressure off her. You know, don't make it a big issue. I would really recommend against sort of punitive type things or, you know, kind of negative consequences for her having accidents. You know, she's just a little thing, and I'm sure she's not doing it on purpose. And I know it's hard and frustrating. I mean, there's nothing worse than them, you know, weeing everywhere, you know. Maybe ask her what she would like to do. Would she like to wear a pull-up at some stage during the day? Or, you know, maybe sort of include her in some of the process of, like, would you like some new undies? Should we put 2 pairs of undies on? Do you want me to remind you before you get in the bath? Or, you know, would you like me to remind you that we should maybe go and sit on the toilet? And, you know, also just practicing holding on too sometimes can help with just getting her bladder control back a bit. They're the things that I would recommend. And obviously if it goes on and on, she's only 4, so, you know, it's not unusual for her to be having accidents. I would try to just take the pressure off both of you and just say, okay, look, maybe we'll wear pull-ups until Christmas, or, you know, until holidays happen or whatever it might be, you know, and give her a little bit of respite from all of that. Sometimes they feel the pressure and it causes them to do exactly what you're trying not to do. Yeah.
This question comes from Chi. She says, from our Facebook Live, she says, "Hi ladies, my son is 3 in January. He has been a co-sleeper since he was around 6 months old. He's getting too big to share with us now and he is a very wriggly sleeper. How can I help him transfer to his own bed? Thank you."
Okay, so because he's been with you for a long time, we need to do it reasonably gently, but 3, you know, usually they're kind of, you know, keen sometimes to have their own space or to have their own bed. So you could kind of, you know, one would be to take him on a little shopping expedition to get himself a nice new bed, and sort of talk it up and make it really exciting. He might be excited to start with, but when the actual reality of going to sleep in his own bed hits, you might be like, actually, I don't really want that. So then you could put what I would suggest is put a mattress on the floor in your room as a first stage, and maybe just have him on the mattress, you know, beside you, so that at least he's still close to you, but he's not wriggling and causing you guys to wake. And then, you know, let's work on, you know, getting him to sleep in his own space. So yeah, it's a bit of a process, but generally as they're older, they start to, you know, be excited about having their own room. So you could play in the room during the day, set it up so that it's, you know, exciting for him, that all his toys are there, and, you know, let's go and lie on your bed, play on your bed, do the stories on his bed. Those sorts of things can really help. But it will take a bit of time.
This question comes from Michelle on the email. She says, "My almost 3-year-old is a good kid in so many ways. His personality is usually compliant, calm, and introverted. But the aspect that we would love to have advice on is how to teach him to be more respectful. He tends to sometimes speak to us and his grandparents in an almost rude tone if it's something he doesn't want or isn't happy with. He also, in most cases, refuses to greet or say goodbye to adults, parents of his friends, etc. Is there anything we can do to guide him towards a more respectful habit of speaking? We are modelling it and know it takes time, but don't love this for others, especially the grandparents."
Yeah. Look, it's hard, but again, you know, toddlers are, 3-year-olds are very unaware of what their behavior is doing to other people. They're just unable, and you could speak to them till you're blue in the face of explaining how it's making you feel, but they don't really care. So modeling is the best way, and, you know, also just pulling him up and saying, "We don't speak like that, you know, we don't say that, we say thank you," and just repetition. As you know, I don't know, I remember my mother just say please, say thank you, look them in the eye, doctors stand up when they come in the room, you know, all those things just got, you know, it's just like repetition. But understand that, you know, he may or may not get it, but he will eventually. If you just keep modeling the behavior, but, you know, don't get too cross on him, because, you know, if you kind of punish him, or you just say the same thing, we don't talk to people like that. We don't talk to grandma or grandpa like that, you know. But also forcing a child to hug someone or kiss someone is probably not a great idea either, because you want them to have that sense of, I don't want to do that, and understand and trust their own instinct. But it doesn't mean they speak rudely to them, you know. Touching is different. Speaking is something, you know, that you should say, you know, look at them, talk to them, you know, that sort of thing. Say please.
If it's any consolation, Michelle, my kids can be abhorrent when they speak to me, my husband, but everyone tells me they're so lovely and polite when they stay
they're usually much worse to their close family, parents and grandparents.
They love us, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So hang in there. You're doing the right thing.
Yeah. And we've got a question from Stoya, who says, "Is 22 months too early to drop daytime nap altogether? He refuses it. He is usually up at 8:30 to 9 a.m. And if he doesn't nap, he will go down at 7:30 to 8. If he does nap, he screams for ages and won't go to sleep until around 10:30 p.m.
Well, I mean, that sounds like he's telling you he doesn't want it. I mean, sleeping until 8:30, 9 a.m. in the morning is kind of exceptional, you know, for a 22-month-old. Generally, they're awake between 5 and 6. So I think that the reason is that he's having that extra long sleep in the morning, that it's kind of like a day sleep, you know. So you could try either. I guess it's sort of like what you could live with, you know. Do you want him to sleep in and go to bed without, you know, at 7 without a nap, or, you know, you get him up at 6:30 or 7 and see if he'll have a nap around midday, even for an hour, and then to bed at 7. But, you know, I think he's clearly telling you he won't do it with the way it's going now. So, like, 22 months is not great. It's young, but a lot of kids will have dropped their naps. And boys, I find generally, you know, can be reluctant to, or they drop day naps probably earlier, I think, because just the nature of their brains, and they just want to be go. Yeah. Mm.
We've got time for one last question. This is a second question from Michelle, who we had earlier. She says, my just turned 1-year-old has been at daycare for 3 weeks as I've returned to work, and so far his day sleep is all over the place. I know it takes a while to settle, but what can I do in the meantime? Normally at home he would sleep for at least 1 hour in the morning, 3 to 3.5 hours after he wakes in the morning, and another 3.5 to 4 hours after his last nap ends. Then he'll go to bed 3.5 to 4 hours after that nap, or 7 p.m., whichever is sooner. He eats and drinks well. At daycare, however, he has been falling asleep up to 5 hours after his morning wake, and sometimes not sleeping again. He falls asleep on the teachers at random times. His naps could be from 30 to 60 minutes. We then rush to pick him up, give him dinner, etc., and put him down by 6 p.m., which is difficult with leaving work and tending to his big brother. Now at home, he is also starting to fight his naps, but will sleep for at least an hour. We have tried putting him down at the 3.5 to 4 hour mark to make sure he's tired enough, but he will now not fall asleep on his own, which he used to. His nighttime sleep is still solid, thankfully, besides early 5:30 a.m. wakes. He has always slept in a room with drawn curtains and white noise until now. He's at daycare 3 days, Wednesday through Friday, and at home 4 days, Saturday through Tuesday. Any tips, or should we just wait it out?
Look, it is hard, and daycare is certainly disruptive for those sorts of things. I mean, he's 12 months, so you could trial just moving him to one sleep, you know, both at childcare, which it sounds like he's doing anyway, and at home, which would mean maybe pushing him out to sort of 11:30 to start with, 11:30, and then you might need to bring bedtime earlier. So you could trial that at home for 4 days before you sort of tackled, you know, or let childcare know that this is what you're doing. I'm not quite sure whether they're trying to put him down twice a day at childcare or whether they're just doing once a day. But I think we need to make it easy, you know, as easy for everybody so that it works. And look, he's 12 months. So like, as I say, it's a bit of a transitional age anyway. They're usually transitioning from 2 to 1 sleep around any time from this stage on. So that's probably what I would give it a go if you feel like that's sort of what he's leaning towards, or, you know, cap the morning nap at sort of 45 minutes, half an hour, 45 minutes, and then let the afternoon one go for an hour and a half. But I think it might be easier for everyone if you kind of get into the routine of maybe having one sleep a day and just see how that goes.
Well, that's all we had time for, Jo. Thank you so much for coming on today and helping everyone.
You're very welcome.
And just before we go, I will mention that if you were desperate to get your question onto Jo and you didn't have time, what we've done at Babyology is expand Sleep School to be Parent School, because there are so many different things that it's good to get help with. So this is, you'll find in the links of the notes of both this episode and the Facebook Live, a special portal. You just go through to the parent school. You can choose the topic that you need help with, the expert that you want to consult with, and then you can have a one-on-one consultation with that person. So just check out those links if you would like to have a more intense experience, more in-depth, I should say, not intense. It won't be intense because you'll be feeling relieved afterwards, won't you, Jo?
Yes, absolutely.
And Jo is one of our experts at Parent School, so you can book in to have a one-on-one consult with Jo. We will be back next week. See you later, Jo, and thank you for your questions.
See ya.
Feed, Play, Love is a Babyology podcast produced and presented by me, Siobhan Hunt. I'd love to hear from you, so if you'd like to get in touch, email me at feedplaylove@theparentbrand.com.au. See you next time.